How many of you like to taste new foods, try new foods? We're watching our 9-month-old twin granddaughters learn how to eat food, new food. And of course, we all know that they'll love their first taste of ice cream. And I would imagine they've already had that first taste. Today, I want us to taste God's food, God's goodness. And friends, there's nothing like a meal from God. He knows how to feed our soul. And so that's why the psalmist tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, as a fugitive from Saul, David fled to the Philistine city of Gath. But as 1 Samuel 21 tells us, he found no refuge there and narrowly escaped with his life. Thereafter, as 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2 tell us, he went to the cave of Adullam, where many desperate men joined him. Now, it is thought that Psalm 34 was written from this cave and was sang in the presence of these broken men. This morning, our focus from Psalm 34 will be on verses 1 through 10. And we have the following 3 points from these verses. Point number 1 is David's testimony of deliverance. Point number 2 is David's praise to God for his deliverance. And then our last point will be David's invitation to others, to us, to share in his praise. Under point number 1, David's testimony of deliverance, he exclaims in verse 4, I sought the Lord. Notice the strength of these verbs. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Let me just pause here and say, when your heart seeks the Lord, God will hear you. Our God has ears to hear. And God heard me, David said. He continues, and he delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 6, David echoes this same testimony of deliverance when he states, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In loving trust with the cry of a beggar, David pursued the Lord for his deliverance. He followed hard after him for his salvation. And thereafter, he could declare, God has rescued me. God has saved me from all my fears. God has freed me. He has liberated me from all my troubles. I say amazing. He was emancipated from all his fears. He was released from all his troubles. Friends, what God did for David, God can and he will do for you. God is our deliverer. God is your deliverer. He enables us to rise above the troubles and the trials of life. As I said, it's not that when you accept Jesus as your Savior that all your troubles and all your trials are over. Sometimes it seems like we have more troubles and trials after that. But we don't have to be controlled by the troubles and the trials and the difficulties of life. God enables us, he delivers us from the control that those troubles and trials have over us. And we can transcend, we can have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Listen to the following verses that remind us that God is our deliverer. In Psalm 32, verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, he saveth such as be of a contrite or crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. 2 Samuel 22, 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. And I love this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. When I saw that, I thought, wow, that's what I want. Lord, you shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And God's people said, amen. God delivers us. Friends, whatever your lot, whatever your trouble, whatever your fear might be, God is your victory. God is your deliverance. What he did for David, he can and he will do for you. Do you believe that? Verse 7 tells us, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Again, for David, while narrowly escaping death among the Philistines and while still being hunted by Saul, he could give voice to the truth that God's angelic camp continues to surround me. And friends, though invisible to the human eye, the same angelic presence is our security and shelter. I think of the words of Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. To keep thee in all thy ways. And when we fear and reverence the Lord and are so delivered, like David, we are included in the they in verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened. They were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Which tells us we then join the company of those who know what it is like to lovingly trust the Lord and to find his deliverance. Friends, that's the company to have. That's the best company to keep. And so as we look unto him who is our light and our salvation, we draw radiance from God's glory. He puts a smile on our faces. And we testify to others that God, even by our glow, our radiance, you know, you can look somber and sad, or you can look happy and joy-filled. Amen? And we have a God who delivers us, who gives us victory. And we can testify to others that God is the strength of our lives and our deliverer. And might we be a part of the host which can testify in verse 6 again, this poor man cried. Have you cried lately unto God? This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David had a testimony of deliverance to share with these broken men. And friends, life, your life and my life is filled with broken people. People that need hope. People that need help. And we can testify to them even by the smile on our faces that God is my deliverer and God can be your deliverer too. Amen? God has done for me. God can do for you. What a deliverer he is. What a mighty God he is. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark. Never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. A mighty fortress is our God. Let me just tell you, you won't make it. you will just crawl through life, but you'll never truly make it unless God is your deliverer. And when you know he is, then you can join David, and this is our second point, in his praise to God for his deliverance. Notice verse 1. David says, I will bless. What does that mean? It means I will honor, I will glorify, I will extol, I will exalt the Lord at all times. Now, certainly David acted as a fool in feigning madness when he fled to Achish and the Philistines. And then in 1 Samuel 22, we find him hiding in a cave with a group of outcasts. But thankfully, this psalm tells us that his heart was hiding in the Lord. He was dwelling in that secret place of the Most High. He was abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And so he could add, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Friends, God puts praise in our mouths. You know, when you sing, you should know, really sense that God is singing his praise to him through you. His praise was continually, he says, in my mouth. When the Lord is the trust of our heart, praise will be the song of our lips. Remember, our thankfulness is not to be a restrained thing. So don't hold it back. You say, well, I'm not the best singer. Don't hold it back. Someone next to you will tell you you're off, but keep singing that joyful noise. Amen? Sing with all your heart. His praise, David says, shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't it refreshing to be around someone that's always rejoicing? How many of you know someone that's always rejoicing? You kind of have to think hard, amen? Don't you? Friends, we should be always rejoicing. We should be continually experiencing God's deliverance. You say, well, you don't know what troubles and trials I'm facing tomorrow. I probably don't. But you know what? I have my own. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so we can praise his name. And then David goes on to add in his praise to God, my soul, verse 2, shall make her boast in the Lord. Again, 1 Samuel 21 describes how David cleverly won his freedom, but David recognizes that the whole episode was a sad commentary on his lack of faith in the Lord as he acted like a madman to escape the Philistines while foolishly seeking refuge among them and even bringing Goliath's sword with him. And so David's boast, when God did deliver him, is a humble boast. For he realizes it is God who delivered him. It is God who saved him. And by the way, it's only God who delivers and saves us. For you and me, God is always our victor, no matter the circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly experiences of life. And so like Paul, we too should say, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. If I'm going to boast, I will boast in my weaknesses, which cause me then to join the chorus of the meek who declare the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I think it's significant that David calls the people of God in general the humble. And the reason it is as if being proud is a denial of God himself. And really, in a sense, it is. We're saying, God, I've got this. I don't need you today. I don't need to start my day in the Word. I've got this day. You don't have any day without the Lord. Amen? And so might we realize that blessing the Lord for all our undeserved deliverances can only come from a humble and thankful heart. And might you and I have such a heart. Might our testimony mirror Paul's testimony found in Galatians 6:14. If you know the verse, say it with me. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And then we can join David, and this is our third point this morning, in his invitation to others to share in his praise. You know, if we're praising the Lord, if we're truly glorifying the Lord, won't we want others to join this happy circle? Amen? Now, in verses 3, 8, and 9, David calls us, he calls others to do three things to join his chorus of praise. And I want you to notice they all begin with the word, O. And first he summons his readers, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Friends, when we genuinely praise God for his faithfulness, we will want to draw, and I've already said this, but we will want to draw others into this same practice of praise. We will want others to join us as we magnify, as we exalt God's name. Now, keep in mind, to magnify is to perceive something as bigger. You know, if you have a magnifying glass, maybe you need it to read, or maybe you're saying, okay, I can't see this very clearly, so you get out the magnifying glass, and it makes everything bigger, amen? So, shouldn't we want to do that regarding our God? Shouldn't we want to grasp the truth that God is great and greatly to be praised? He is a big God. And where do we see his bigness, his awesomeness? In the fact that he's a holy God, that he's an all-powerful God, that he is an all-knowing God, that he is an all-loving God, that there is nothing too hard for him. So he says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. When the troubles and the trials of life come, cry out to God. He is a big God. And then we will want others to see God in this very same way, the majestic, most high, great, and mighty God. Honestly, we have a problem when we perceive God as little more than a superhero. I think one of the big issues that I see in Christianity today and churches today is we have too small a concept of God. And what consequently happens then is we don't fear him. We don't reverence him. We don't obey him. We have a very superficial concept of God. Friends, the depth, the breadth, the length of God is unfathomable. In fact, he is so great, he fills the entire universe fully and completely. And so, can't we magnify and exalt this God and then seek to persuade others to join us? And friends, and I know I'm kind of going back, but when you perceive as God being big and God being magnified in your thinking, won't that cause you to more trust him, to look to him when the trials and the troubles of life come? And so can't we magnify and exalt this God? And we do this when we invite others, and this is the second thing to do, to share in God's praise, and that is, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. After telling of his own experience, David now challenges the readers of this psalm to experience God's greatness in a personal encounter in a way that is similar to tasting and seeing. Say, well, you know, I haven't tried that food. Well, you know, you can look at it. If that's all you do, you're never going to really partake of it, right? I mean, you got to kind of get personally involved with that food. And really the same is true with God. You got to taste and see. There's a personal aspect there, experiencing God. This means taking time to observe the specific beauties and attributes and greatness of God. I like what one pastor said this past week. He said, start with the letter A and list all the names and character qualities of God you can think of that start with that letter. Maybe some of you can think of maybe two or three of God's characteristics, attributes that start with the letter A. But if you're really tasting and if you're really seeing that the Lord is good, the Spirit of God will bring to mind the fact that God is able. Think about that, that God is able. How many of you have thought of that even today? When you face the issues of life, you know, God is able. God is almighty. God is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end, which means he has everything under his control. He's the Amen. You know, when something good happens, Amen. He is the Amen because when you hang with him, good things happen. He is the Anointed One. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Ageless One. He is the Anchor of your soul. He is your haven of rest. He is the Architect of the universe. And he's so much more. My challenge to you is take time to taste and see the goodness of the Lord this week. Maybe take the fact that God is able and just meditate on that tomorrow. You know, God, you are able. You are able to see me through this journey called life. Maybe Tuesday, meditate on the fact that God is the Almighty God. He's almighty. Taste and see the magnitude of his amazing grace and saving love. Then you too will say, God, you are good. God, you are my deliverer. Thank you for sending your angels to surround me. Friends, when God is all that I've described for you, you too will want others to know and experience this good and gracious God. You know, that will make all the difference in the world in your gospel witness. You know, we encourage people to be a soul winner. We encourage people to be a witness. I mean, if it's not personally real to you, why should you personally share it with someone else? And so when God becomes so real, you know he is your deliverer. You can honestly say in your heart, God, you delivered me. You rescued me. You saved me. I mean, I'll tell you, you'll want to share that with others, this great God. I love when we sing, how great is our God. God of the universe, he reigns from above. Gracious and merciful, abounding in love, great in all his ways, worthy of our praise. Lift up your voice, sing out with joy. How great is our God! Let every day be filled with praise. How great is our God! How great is our God! You know, when God is great, won't you want to share that with others? When your team wins, you share that with others. Folks, you're on the winning team. God is your deliverer. And then David invites us, his readers, to do a third thing, and that to share in his praise to the saving God. And we see that in verse 9. Here's the third O. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. David's invitation to fear the Lord, to reverence, to respect the Lord means recognizing and acknowledging who God really is. And when others accept our invitation to magnify and exalt the Lord, to taste and see that the Lord is good, then to fear the Lord, they too, I know we're being redundant this morning, but when they magnify the Lord with you, when they taste and see that the Lord is good with you, when they fear the Lord with you, then we see that they and we are blessed. Blessed is the man. Don't you think when you magnify the Lord, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, when you fear the Lord, don't you think then you will be trusting the Lord as you go through the difficulties and the trials of life? And the consequence of that is you are blessed. You are blessed. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And this blessedness is described specifically in verses 9 and 10. There is no want, there is no lack to them that fear him. They that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And yes, even one as strong as a young lion may lack and suffer hunger. But again, they that seek the Lord shall experience God's goodness. They shall not lack any good thing. Now let's understand God's provision is not always what the human heart would deem good. For example, like David, Paul personally went through many dangers, toils, and snares, and he called it being abased, which included being hungry, enduring infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, diseases, distresses. But then in trusting confidence, he experienced what only Jesus can give, his grace. How can we define grace? His sufficient strength, for God's power then rested upon him. In his trials, he did not lack the very good thing of God's grace. And so like David, he tasted and he saw that the Lord is good, and that he could say, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Friends, my prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that David's testimony of deliverance is our testimony. You don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you need deliverance right now? We all do. We have a God that delivers. Then we too will praise God for being our deliverer. And we will want others to share in this journey of praise to the God from whom all blessings, all goodness, all grace, all sufficient strength flows. So I encourage you, I challenge you, number one, share your testimony of deliverance. God is my deliverer. And what do I do then? And what will you do then when God is your deliverer? You will boast in the Lord. And then you will invite others to join you in this chorus of praise. Can you imagine what a church would be like if we're constantly experiencing deliverance, victory? He is our help in ages past. He is our hope for years to come. That should be the body of Christ. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let's rejoice in this victory together, to praise God together from whom all blessings flow.